Happy to be joined now by David Kaplan, host ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Dave, thanks so much for this. What a time to be a fan of both the White Sox and the Cubs for very different reasons. Let's start with the White Sox, though, because that is some wild stuff. I think when news first broke that that was the reason Chris Sale was scratched from his start on Saturday and then subsequently suspended for five games starting yesterday, I think most people thought it was a joke. Like, that is, I don't know if I've seen a more ridiculous reason for a suspension.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's a little bit of a crazy situation, but how about the fact that they start tonight playing four straight games against each other? So it's going to be a lot of fun at U.S. Cellular tonight and tomorrow, then Wrigley on Wednesday, Thursday. But look, Chris Sale is in the team photo, top three guys in the game. If you had to win a ball game tonight, who you'd want to start? Kershaw's injured. I guess it'd be Bumgarner or Chris Sale if you really narrowed down who's pitching the best right now. But to tear up the uniforms after in spring training, you know, the White Sox, if you have a child and you do not discipline that child when the child gets out of line, you can't wonder when the child gets to be 22 and is as disrespectful as ever and go, God, I can't figure out how my kid grew up this way. Well, it's the same deal with Chris Sale. In spring training, in the clubhouse, when he doesn't like a decision the GM made about Adam LaRoche and his son, he goes crazy on him in front of the team, profane tirade with as profane a language as you can possibly use, and nothing's done. Well, Chris was upset. Okay, no discipline, so now Chris doesn't like the throwback jerseys, which, by the way, they gave 20,000 of them away Saturday night, so they wanted the team to play in the jersey they were given to the fans, and Chris doesn't like it, so he takes a scissors to it. Ridiculous, and I respect the fact that they suspended him for five days.
Dave, you've been around this club for a while. What kind of guy is Chris Sale?
Chris is actually a really nice guy. I've had him on my radio show. I've had him on my TV show. He's actually, you know, a solid guy to deal with, but he has a temper. He has moments where you go, dude, you got to settle down. You cannot act that way. This is incident number two now since March. And I hope that the suspension gets his attention. I still think they're looking around to try and trade him. I just don't think they'll be able to get what they want. And I think in the end, he stays a member of the White Sox, at least for a while.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I didn't think he would be one of those pieces on the move from Chicago because it's just so difficult to get an ace of his caliber that when you finally land one, you don't want to give him away and you do everything you can to hold on to him. But is this almost a tipping point for the White Sox, Dave, considering the two incidents here and considering obviously there's some distrust between him and the front office or some angst even? Is this what actually what pushes this relationship over the edge and we see Chris Sale in a different uniform before August 1st?
I don't know if this pushes it over the edge. I think, you know, the fact that Rick Hahn, the GM, came out the other day and said to the media, we're mired in mediocrity and we're going to have to change what we're doing and come up with a new plan, and all bets are off. Everything's on the table, whether that's trade Sale, Quintana, or anyone else on the roster. So I don't really think in the end this is going to factor into it. They have an elite asset. People want starting pitching, and I believe in the end, unless somebody is going to grossly overpay because they're desperate to get what he does and his skill set, I think he ends up staying here at least for a while.
Talking to Dave Kaplan, host ESPN 1000 in Chicago. So this is not the first incident that the White Sox have had this season. You alluded to it, Dave, the Adam LaRoche thing earlier with his son and whether he should be allowed in the clubhouse, eventually banned from the clubhouse, and Adam said, okay, that's fine, I retire, and decided to forego tens of millions of dollars. And you mentioned that there was some... disagreement on whether that was the correct course of action in that clubhouse. You got the Sale thing over the weekend, apparently, as well. A couple of weeks ago, Ken Rosenthal reporting that the White Sox, the first team to refuse to tip the clubbies in Seattle because the Mariners have decided to take a cut of all the tips given to the clubbies, which is a totally bizarre scenario as well. But is it fair to even ask? I mean, it seems like it would be fair to ask, but is there a problem in this clubhouse as far as culture, as far as personalities? Is there something, you know, more than just Chris Sale with this team, that there's a problem with the personalities, with the chemistry in this clubhouse?
I don't think so. I mean, I've been in that clubhouse multiple times, and really pretty good guys in there. You know, going into this past off season, you looked at last year's team, which was wildly disappointing, and you said, well, the guy who spoke up the most was Jose Abreu's translator. And I say that kiddingly, because you really had no leadership in there that really was the face of the team, that spoke to the media and then in turn really spoke to the fan base, except Jose Abreu occasionally would say something, except he doesn't speak English. So that becomes a bit of a problem. So they go out and get Todd Frazier, they get Brett Laurie, and it looked like Frazier became the face of the team. Now they brought Tim Anderson up, who's their best prospect, and then they bring up their best pitching prospect in Carson Fulmer. So they're starting to try and turn the roster over, but they just, for some whatever reason, they haven't valued on-base percentage enough. They have drafted horribly, and so they have not gotten what the team on the other side of town, the Cubs, has gotten out of a full-scale rebuild. And they see all these young kids, whether it's Anthony Rizzo at 26 or it's Addison Russell at 22 or Chris Bryant at 24 or Wilson Contreras. I mean, Albert Almora, you just keep naming guys and you go, geez, look how many young kids the Cubs are bringing up. So not only have they done a poor job at getting young talent and they keep getting older guys, but then they look right 7 miles to the north and go, yeah, they're the epitome of the best in the game in terms of getting that type of player.
Yeah, and it seems like the Cubs are on their way to even acquiring one of the best closers in the game. Can you bring us up to date on the latest between the Yankees and the Cubs? Aroldis Chapman, the big key in this one. Where does this stand, and could this happen as early as today?
Yeah, I do think if it's going to happen, I think it happens today. I don't think it drags on. And you know, it's funny, I'm out there pretty active on social media, and there's a lot of fans who are upset because they don't like the background of Aroldis Chapman. And my response to them is, look, this is professional sports. He served his punishment. If he's okay to pitch for the New York Yankees, why is he not okay to pitch for the Chicago Cubs? I'm not saying I want him to date my sister if I had one, but this is a professional baseball team trying to win a World Series, and he may be the best at the skill set that he has, which is closing out baseball games. And if you don't trade for him, he probably is going to end up in Washington or San Francisco, and then we'll see how people feel in October, November, when it's Game 7 of the NLCS trying to go to a World Series. You got a one-run lead, and Bryce Harper up in the eighth, and guess who you get out of the bullpen? You go get Aroldis Chapman, who's as good as there is, instead of somebody on your roster who's not anywhere near as good. So some people say, look, are you prioritizing winning over your morals? Well, my response to that is, this guy's eligible to pitch. Mm-hmm. He served his punishment. He was never charged. Now, I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm not saying he's a good person. I don't know him.
No.
I'm just evaluating him as a baseball player. I asked my wife, do you have a problem that this guy's coming in here with a domestic violence background? She doesn't either. She said, look, is he eligible to pitch? Is he coming out of jail? No, he's coming out of the Yankees bullpen. Then I guess that's the price of winning, and that's the price of baseball.
Yeah, you'd call a lot of people out of Major League Baseball if you just took out all the bad dudes. That's for sure. Talking to Dave Kaplan, host ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Before I let you go, Dave, so Cubs fans, you think about that franchise, obviously, is that the lovable loser franchise over 100 years without a World Series championship, but the playoff appearance last year, so many high expectations this season. I believe World Series favorites going into the year, and then they start the season out on that incredible run. Hit a bit of a speed bump before the All-Star break, but they picked it up again in the second half. Can you give me a sense of the Cubs fan base? Because it's an interesting one to me, because Wrigley's such a fun place to go watch a ball game, even when the Cubs are lousy. They're good and legitimately good. How much pressure is there on the Cubs to not just make the playoffs again, but win a World Series?
Oh, there's a ton of pressure. A ton. Now, Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, Joe Maddon will tell you, look, we built this thing for sustained success. Other than Ben Zobrist, every guy in your infield is young. You've got a young catcher who's now actually been playing in left field because a couple of veterans are behind the plate. But my point is, you go around that team, Jason Hayward's 26. Dexter Fowler's in his 20s. Chris Bryant in his 20s. Addison Russell, early 20s. So Javi Baez, early 20s. So you keep looking at it, and you still have a team that has a window that is wide open. If it doesn't happen this year, maybe it happens next year. Maybe it happens in 2018. But you should have the best team in baseball for the foreseeable future. But the fan base says, oh, my God, if we don't win this year, we're never going to win. We have to win this year. We've got the best record in baseball. So that's the dichotomy going on here. The team tells you, just keep playing in postseason ball. Eventually, yeah, you'll break through. The fan base wants it now.